You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dale Green was like, your hands are great, man, but your feet are better. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, He's like, man, you're sitting here trying to punch everybody, but your feet are stuck in sand. It is what it is, man. That's one I definitely think I should have won. I don't cry about awards. It doesn't make or break me. Mm-hmm. But 10 picks as a corner, man. Come on. You got to think the situation that propelled him to start was because we sucked.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. So make sure you subscribe and turn on your alerts so you can get the show right away. Pat P, what are we going to cover on this episode?
Hey, yo, Mac'em. I'm kind of hyped about this one, man. We get to one of the greatest to do it at our position.
Oh, for real, GOAT.
Yeah, man. Also, he's a member of the SEC as well. So we will have, you know, like we said, one of the greatest to ever do it at our position. Champ Bailey will be joining the show with us soon. Stay tuned.
Get your popcorn.
All the great conversation. Maybe you might even get a little bit of insight on how to be great. Stay tuned.
Get your popcorn. First quarter of our show, it's time to chopping it up. But this chopping it up segment is a little different. We're going to talk about the here and now. And the here and now for our very own Pat P. Oh, by the way, hold on.
Just a sec. Look what my guy. Look what my guy gave me, man. Look at that.
You got that sale today.
I got that sale. Authentic. This ain't no soft number. This is real. This hard number. This ain't no soft. This ain't the replica.
You know, when you go get a jersey, you can't get the replica that fold easily. You got to get the hard number. That's when you know you authentic.
You got to fold around the number.
Yeah, I was going to try to wear it, but this is like a game-worn jersey. It was going to actually fit like a halter top, so I couldn't really put it on. I didn't know if that was appropriate. But I got it. My guy came and laced me up real decent. So with this jersey, and I don't know if you guys have been following Pat P on social media, make sure you follow him. He's been giving us little ins and outs of what is going on in Minnesota. They're currently in OTA practices.
And I've been hearing
the majority of the guys have been in attendance there for the Vikings, which is a good sign. Before we get into the ins and outs of OTAs, there was a video that the Vikings social media page, Instagram, put out for us to see on their story. Make sure you follow the Vikings Instagram page also. Show of Pat P coming out of the locker room with that white number 7 on, and he had a helmet in his hand. I think it was the right hand. He had a helmet. Last week on our show, you fans of our show, you know, I was talking to Pat about, since he went back to his high school college number, it's only right that he go back to that helmet, that swagged out helmet, the shuts, right?
Yeah, shuts.
So Pat P, and you personally, you sent me a text of the video telling me, check this out. Hey man, so what you went back to your old school helmet with the visor?
Yeah, I'm going back to the old school, man.
Oh man. Hey Pat, please tell the people what I text you. You remember what I text you?
When
you sent me the video and I looked at the video, what was my response? You remember what I said? Tell them what I said, Pat. Let them know what I said.
I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna read about Baylor. Let me go.
Yeah,
back.
Let them know what I said. Let them know what Mac said.
He said, "Yes, sir. It's ass cutting time now."
Yes, sir. You know what time it is now. Yes, sir.
It's go time, man. I took your advice, man. I said, yeah, let me go. I'm gonna go ahead and put the shut back
on. And you had that vibe. You had a nice visor on that thing too, right?
Yeah, that thing had that little light purple tint on it. But Mac, so I go up to Dennis. I was like, man, Dennis, man, you know, I think I want to make the change back to my old helmet.
Yeah.
He was like, this thing is at the bottom of the helmet thing. I was like, oh man. I said, let me at least try it on. Let me go out there and practice and see if I like it. You know what I mean? If I get dinged up, I'll change back to it. Man, I put the thing back on, man. It felt like I got them Tempur-Pedic pillows at the house, right? So, you know, you lay in there, feel it, it just fall right on in there, soft.
Yeah,
I said, oh yeah, she's staying on. She's staying on.
It hit different. I told
no doubt
you.
About it.
Then when you look in the mirror, because you know, for us DBs, we always got to look at our uniform before we step out, even if it's a day we just got on helmets. We always got to look at ourselves before we walk on the football field. I know when you looked at yourself, that purple tint, I sent you that text. I said, yes, sir. You know what time
it is. Yeah, it's just time to go, man. Nah, man, it felt good today. It felt good moving around in the helmet today, being on the grass, you know. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to, you know, helping this team in as many ways as I can.
What's it like for you, you know, being a part of one organization, what, for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you dealt with coaching change in AZ. But what's this like? What is it like for you, you know, getting acclimated to a new franchise, new practice facility, new practice fields, along with a new defense?
Well, the defense is not really an obstacle for me to have to hurdle over. You know, I love ball. So, you know, I know concepts. I know defense. The biggest thing is just understanding the different terminology. But for the most part, you know, it's the same to me. You know, it's all football. It's all ball, man, you know, because, you know, that's all I love doing. I love strapping up my cleats, going out there, putting on a damn good performance. And that's all that matters to me, no matter what helmet that I'm playing in. You know, yeah, I had a good time there in Arizona. And, you know, time was ran up short, but I'm still on the field. You know, I'm still in between the lines. And that's what matters to me, you know. So, you know, and you know me as well, Mac. I'm a people's person. So me getting acclimated with new people, that was the least of my concerns too. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, I love everything around here, the atmosphere, the culture, the coaching staff, the ownership, the building, everything is just top notch.
No doubt. That's dope. That's dope. Mm-hmm. And talking about being a people person, you know, what has been your early takeaways with the team, you know, being on the grass and seeing, granted, the entire team has not been there, but the majority of the guys are there. What have been your early takeaways with what you've seen so far?
Man, everybody's just super cool, man. You know, everybody, you know, once we step out on the football field, and not saying that this was the case in Arizona, it's, you know, it's all about football. You know, it reminds me a lot of that, you know, the locker rooms that we had, that I've been around in the past, you know, play golf with Adam, Harrison, Kirk, and a couple other guys, you know, get an opportunity to, you know, talk to other guys about their family, you know, McKenzie, Cam, Four, you know, Dalvin Cook, you know, so the list goes on. So getting the opportunity just to sit down and just learn a little bit about, you know, the new teammates and just seeing how they move around, you know, these guys, you know, it's the reason why they're here. And, you know, Coach Zim and Rick, you know, they do a great job of making sure that they get the right guys in here that can not only perform the things that they need, that they want them to accomplish on the field, but also being good people, you know, because being good people to me go a little bit further than just being an awesome athlete.
And talking about that secondary, yeah, you got a dog in that secondary with you, Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
Who don't play the radio. So, he don't
no doubt around. About
he'll bite your head off. So, ooh, y'all got some, man.
Yeah, man.
That defense, y'all, you just named some players, man. Y'all boys stay healthy.
I ain't even, you know, name, you know, the freaking, you know, the linebackers that we got with
Barr.
Barr, Eric.
No question.
You know, and up front, we got some monsters up front.
Hunter.
Yeah, right, man.
Hey, show them boys that text message I sent. You know what time? What time it is? What time it is?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, so last question for you before we transition to Has Pat Heard? All right, going back a year ago, very same time, things were so different. You know what I mean? Yeah. The stability or the lack thereof was well documented, but it's a little different now with protocols changing. You know, people getting vaccinated. You know, how normal do things feel right now for you? You know, being around the guys, I don't know. Do you still need to wear a mask when you're not, you know, wearing your helmet? You know, how normal does it feel now compared to last year?
Everything is pretty much the same as of right now.
You still got to get tested?
Yeah, if you're not fully vaccinated, you have to get tested every day.
Every day?
Every day. So I still have to get tested too, because I only got, you know, the first dosage. So after I get my second dosage, I wouldn't have to wear my mask. I wouldn't have to
Get
tested every day. So for the most part, everything is still the same, you know, because I don't believe
that thing up your nose.
Yeah, I don't believe everybody is fully vaccinated, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure there may be a couple guys. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, yeah, we still have to follow the same protocols, making sure we have our mask on, you know, in the building, you know, walking around in the cafeteria. So everything's pretty much still the same.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Pat Pete in Minnesota Vikings jersey. Y'all make sure y'all go support my guy, man. Look at the thread, the stitching.
Hey, man.
You see the stitching?
Hey, I need all the NFL fans to go out there and get my jersey. I want my job to be like Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow.
Number one. Oh, yeah, I want mine to be number one jersey still, man. Come on. All things covered.
Well, how about you go away for the game for 6-7 years and then come back? That might get you number one. That's what Tim
still
did.
Won't happen. I mean, it still won't happen. I'm not an offensive player. You know, that's what, you know, that's what them people like. Man. Like,
no, you
like,
know what you
like
need to do, Pat Pick?
We the villains.
You got that new shirt on, go get you 7 picks, return 6 for a touchdown.
Oh man.
You can name your price. Great. Walk in with a blank check. Name your price. Let that manifest to you. 7 picks.
Let that sizzle in your spirit.
6 pick 6s. God dang it, Pat Pete.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
You know what? We got the GOAT coming on, so we can talk about his experience because he had 10 one year.
Hey, and I remember it was one year. I got to pull this up. I think it was 1 year, bro. Champ gave up. I think it was 21 catches or something like that, bro.
Yeah, that might be the same year he had 10 because he gave up 0 touchdowns.
Yeah, he gave up.
The number might even be lower. He was playing on odd man level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all make sure, man. We got a real goat. We ain't got a little bad. That's a sheep. Bad.
What's time the goat make?
I think that's what sound a goat make. I know a sheep make bad. I don't know, man. Pat, you get embarrassed.
Goat don't make no noise, I don't think, huh?
I don't know. I need to ask my little boy. My little boy know all about animals. I don't know. But I know we ain't got no bad. We ain't got one of them. No, we got the goat. Yeah, I'll stay tuned, man. Stay tuned. Now it's time for your favorite part of the show. You know what? Every part of the show is your favorite part. But here's where we tap in to pass Pat Hurd. Pat's overall record so
far. Might be bad this week, man.
You looking for an excuse already, y'all. Hey, his record so far, out of 51 questions, he's got 34 right. 67%, so he's well above 50%. Stories that he's heard before we told him last week. So he got 3 out of 5. So what the committee did was you had a few halves. You know, you got part of the question right. So the committee basically kind of gave you they added half together, which kind of gave you one. So you were 3 out of 5 last week. So the first question for you, which member of that outstanding 2011 draft class has said
Julio Jones?
Dang, that was too easy. We gave you a bunny. He didn't even let me finish. You heard that committee? See, that's what happened. All right. So this is another question outside of that. You got the first one right. Let me jot that down. Yeah. But what's it like seeing so many members of your draft class, you know, move to different destinations? You got AJ Green and JJ playing in Arizona. Yeah. Pat, you with the Vikings. Julio's on the trade block, allegedly. Alden Smith on the move again. He's with Seattle. Ryan Kerrigan to the Eagles. Mike Pouncey and Anthony Costanzo retired. Mm-hmm. You know, what's it like seeing so many members of that draft class, you know, playing in different organizations?
I mean, this for great players, you know, especially how the league is, you know, want to be young. They're just trying to find ways to get younger guys in there. And sometimes that's not always the key for success. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's always around that 10-year mark, you know, for great players that's been with the organization for that long to where you got to start looking elsewhere, you know, or thinking it's a possibility that you can be on another team unless you're Larry Fitzgerald. But, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. But to see those guys still in the game, you know, that's a blessing in itself.
That's all that matters.
And you giving another organization an opportunity to soak up your greatness.
No doubt. Okay, so you got the first one right. You fired up today. Okay. All right. Ooh, this is right up your wheelhouse. Phil Mickelson became the oldest to win a major by capturing the PGA Championship this weekend.
Don't ask me the four names, man.
No. You already defeated.
All right, cool.
The oldest to win a major at 50 years old. Yep. How many majors does Phil have now?
6.
You sure?
Let me think. So I know he won the Masters twice. He won the... Oh, this might put him at 5.
You know what, Pat? You got it right. I was just messing with you. It's 6.
It is 6. But real quick. I know it was between 5 and 6, though.
Yeah, it's 6. Okay. But how impressive was that accomplishment, you know, at his age for you?
Man, it was awesome to watch, man. I watched from every shot from hole 11 on Saturday to every shot on Sunday. It was an incredible tournament to see him. And that's why I love golf, because it don't matter what age you are, you can still be competitive. You know what I mean? And at the same time, too, Phil is older than everybody out there damn near and was out driving half the field.
And think about this. His odds, Phil was 200-1 to win. So basically, if you dropped, if I'm not mistaken, if you dropped $1,000 on Phil to win, that would have brought you back $200,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. And the thing, too, with Phil, what really helped him win, like he was hitting, I mean, he kind of, his swing started getting away from him towards, I think, like 13 on Sunday. But for the most part, overall, he drove the ball very well.
It was windy, too, right? The conditions?
It was windy, and he drove the ball very. And Phil is not, I mean, in his earlier heyday, he was known, obviously, for hitting fairways. But, like, over the last 5 years, it's been a kind of a struggle for him to find those fairways. But yesterday, over the last weekend, he came to play, and he was hitting bombs.
Man, if you put $100 on Phil to win, that would have brought you back $20,000.
Yeah.
So he was not expected to win, say the least. All right, so you got that.
No,
one,
he
right?
was but, expecting to win.
The, yeah, he was, but the people, the odd makers out in Vegas, they highs. Right.
Yep.
All right. Dang, you got that one right. You okay? All right. Last question for you.
Oh, this is the last one. About to go 100%. Let's go.
Right, don't speak too. All right. Billboard Music Awards, they were held on Sunday.
Yeah, man. Ooh. Drake. Artist of the decade.
Dang.
Yeah, man. Hey, go ahead and put the clap though around them, round of applause in the back.
You got it all right. See, committee, that's what happened when y'all start feeling sorry for giving these bunnies and he go answer.
I told y'all, don't give me no questions like that.
Hey,
don't
you know
me
what?
No fans, questions about sports.
We gotta
give me some stuff, man. Let me use this little brain of mine, man.
Okay. All right. Well, Pat P, you 3 for 3 today. All right. So we got to have the fans tuning in, because you know what? Don't worry, Pat P. I saw a lot of fans dropping questions on Twitter. Okay. And next week, we're going to see where you really at.
All right. Yeah. I'm up for the challenge. I'm up for the challenge, man. Let's go.
It's almost time for halftime. But before we get to half, we got to tap in with our fan base. 7 questions is the segment. But make sure you guys stay with us, because on the opposite side of the half, man, we got Champ Bailey joining us, and you do not want to miss this conversation with a for real goat. He ain't no sheep. He a goat. Mm-hmm. Ain't no bad. He ain't no sheep. He a for real goat. But 7 questions. Here's where we get a chance to interact with you, the listeners and the viewers. If you want your question to be answered in the future, leave a question attached to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we may get to it on the show. This question comes from Zachary Smith. You can find Zachary on Twitter. His name is Zachary Smith 412. He must be from Pittsburgh. I got my 412 on my shirt as well. Question for both of us. Prefer playing in man coverage or zone coverage, or truthfully not have a preference? You don't have a preference. Why? And he appreciate us answering this question. So, Pat P, do you have a preference, or it doesn't matter? If your preference is man, or is it zone? What do you prefer?
I mean, I like playing. I like pressing, because I'd rather not give a receiver free access. You know, if I'm able to get my hands on a receiver and have him start worrying about me, then that gives me a better opportunity of defending the pass. You know, and everybody's different. You know, like we talked about with Champ about, you know, eyes being off, you know, being able to read the quarterback. Everybody's a little bit different. You know, I can do those things, but I feel my best attribute is being at the line of scrimmage, playing with my back against the wall, against the quarterback, because most cornerbacks can't do that. They can't find the ball when their back is against the wall. So when their back is against the quarterback, I just feel like that puts me in tighter coverage. And like I said, by me being in tighter coverage, it gives me a better opportunity to get my hands on the ball. I just think when you're playing off, it's so many variables that have to go your way. You have to break on time. You have to make sure that you're reading the proper steps. Because now when you're at the same time, when you're pressing, you can second guess, but you can kind of, it's ways and tricks and trades, at least that I know, that can get me back in position if I was to take a false step or something like that at the line of scrimmage. When you're off, that guy's always running full speed at you. So if you're sitting on the route and you think something's coming,
goodbye.
See you. So for me, I just think when you're in the receiver face, it just takes all of the gray out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, like I said, that's just something that I'm very good at. And that's just something I prefer playing more of than zone.
For me, I guess it depends on the offense. Cause I know early in my career, we had a lot of offenses that didn't huddle. And right. That wasn't a hot thing. You didn't see that from all the offenses. So when you were so used to going against offenses that huddled, that played with a slower tempo, and then you play against these up-tempo offenses like Indy with Peyton Manning, you know, the receivers they had, you know, Cincinnati used to do it. Now it's like, okay, we got to try to mix up some zone, because if you play man-to-man, and you already know how it is, Pat P, even if it's a run play, you don't know as corners. Right. So if you're in their face and they're running off and they're not huddling, by the time you get back to the line of scrimmage, you might have a new receiver who was just on the sideline drinking exactly. Gatorade. Now he's coming up there and you pressing him. He might run you off. You don't know if it's a run or a pass, but you're playing like it's a pass. And then here you go get another wide receiver who now has fresh legs.
Now it's third down.
It's money down. So by that time, you just basically covered two punts. And it's third down. And it's third and eight, so you know they're probably going to pass.
Oh, no doubt about it.
You know what I mean? So in those situations right there, give me an opportunity to play with my eyes, play off a little bit, give me some type of zone concepts to kind of help us. Because I know certain situations, and I think the best way to make you guys understand, think about two-minute situation where offense, you know offense, they're going fast. So in two-minute situations, you don't see a lot of corners play bump and run, number one, because they don't want to give up a long one. But number two, you won't get an opportunity to rest. So in certain situations, off coverage is an opportunity for you to kind of get your wind a little bit.
Check this out, though, Matt. I'm gonna go the opposite of that. I love playing press in 2 minutes. Here's why. Because think about it. Like you alluded to, receivers always come out of the game when they get tired. 2 minutes, they ain't coming out of the game.
They ain't coming out, yeah.
They in there, and them routes getting slower and slower.
Yeah, them routes be looking saggy. No, 2 minute routes be looking saggy.
Hey, then like I told you, and like I told Champ, like we talked with Champ,
yep.
That's why I run so much. So, like, when the receivers be trying to run me off, I tell them all the time, I ain't tired. I'm like, I'm in shape. Like, I do this. So, y'all can keep running these receivers in, trying to run me deep, and bring your guy back in. I'm still going to be ready.
Nope.
You know,
that's why you're great at what you do.
Yeah, so in the 2 minute, I take advantage of that. Oh, I'm pressing you every time.
Great question, Zachary. I hope you enjoyed our answer. And like I said, for the fans watching us on YouTube, or listening to us on your podcast, leave us a 5-star review attached to your question. We might try to get to it on the show. Now, it's giveaway time. One of the many perks of playing in the league is the cool opportunity to have cool swag. And as a thanks to you, our loyal listeners and viewers, for rocking with us, we want to give away a signed copy of the ESPN magazine featuring the 2008 Steelers defense. It's simple. Just make sure you're following the podcast on Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review with your Twitter handle and favorite All Things Covered guest. The winner will be chosen at random. Now it's time for shout outs. We want to remind everyone that you can find us on Instagram at All Things Covered Pod. Each week we give clues for our next guest, and the first person to guess correctly gets a follow and a shout out on the pod. So we have to shout out Rashad Lewis, who guessed Herm Edwards last week. Again, follow us at All Things Covered Pod for the very best content from the show. Whoo, it's halftime. We were involved in a 2-minute situation. They didn't score, so we did our job. We're in halftime, make some adjustments. On the other side of the break, we'll be joined by the great living legend, Champ Bailey. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, TaylorBrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TaylorBrands.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back from halftime, all things covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden. And man, we told y'all in the beginning of the show, we had a heavy hitter. God dang it. Pat, what I said, we got a for real GOAT.
Yeah,
join
not no sheep, not no sheep. Nah,
we ain't got no bad. We got a legit GOAT. And it's only right, man, we got to give the legends their flowers while they are still here. And for some reason, I feel like this is a guy who doesn't get talked about enough.
Yeah.
Just from the durability, just from the consistency, just from being a straight dog. And he's joining us here on our show. Consensus. Man, this man been getting accolades fresh out the womb before he can legit crawl. When he was laying on his back, somebody gave him a trophy because he earned it. That's how gangster he's been his entire life. Consensus All-American at the University of Georgia. Matter of fact, I took a trip to Georgia basically because of Champ Bailey.
Same here, man.
Oh, you took a trip to Georgia too?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know that. Dang it. Look at that, Pat. Yeah, I went to Georgia just because of Champ. Just because of Champ. You need to be a recruiter, Champ, because, heck, I ain't even know you, but I went to Georgia because I remember you playing corner, playing wide receiver. I played corner, played wide receiver in high school. Yeah. I'm like, man, I want to be like that guy. So I came to Georgia. They didn't sign me because they didn't have you. If you would have talked to me, Champ, I might have signed with Georgia if you would have talked to me, but you ain't talked to me. But consensus All-America at UGA, number 7 pick in the 1999 NFL draft. 12-time Pro Bowler, the most ever for a corner. We might not see that ever happen again, bro. That's how rare and unique that achievement is. 2000 All-Decade Team. In 2019, he got the ultimate call to the Hall of Fame. Football Heaven brought him up. He has that gold jacket on, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Man, the GOAT. Join us in the secondary, cornerback Champ Bailey. Man, Champ, thank you for joining us. How you feeling?
I feel great, guys. How y'all doing?
Man, we blessed.
We good. I got my popcorn, man. We about to talk to you. You gonna coach us up? I'm retired. Pat P still playing. We just talked about Pat P.
Yeah,
Pat P
might want to get 16.
Yeah. We got a lot of people who are watching and listening to us. They love being educated. So I know we not paying you to join us, but you gonna earn your just due. Because we're going to get it about you today. But before we get started, let's go back to where it all started for you. Growing up in the South, how did you fall in love with football?
You know, first off, guys, thanks for having me, man. It's, you know, it's an honor to be on here with you guys, you know, because to hear you guys praise the guys before you, I mean, I did the same. And, you know, it all trickles down, man. And I know we love to keep that consistent. So thanks for that. Right. But, you know, man, where I grew up, bro, there was dirt roads, couple stoplights, and lack of opportunity. And boy, it's still like that. So it was hard. And, you know, one thing about back then, we didn't have a lot of information. Like there was no internet. There was none of that. There was no social media. You connected with who you saw, who was in front of you. And that's what mattered. And we just didn't see a lot of success stories. So it was easy to go down the wrong path. But fortunate enough for me, you know, I grew up in a community where, you know, when somebody had a chance or, you know, you would have those looking out for you, and enough people looked out for me.
So so you're from Georgia, right, Champ?
Right.
So what so as a kid growing up, I know you alluded to, you know, not having many opportunities. Did you see yourself being a Georgia Bulldog growing up?
Not until my brother went to Georgia. My brother my brother was a senior. I was a freshman in high school. So seeing him go, you know, gave me some confidence. But there was a guy before him, a guy named Henry McMillan, a little older than my brother. He went to Florida. So, you know, you see it, but it's not a lot. There's one guy here, a couple years later, here's my brother and a couple more guys going to some smaller schools. You know, so it wasn't a lot of great examples, but my brother was in my household, big influence on me. So whatever he did, I tried to emulate and so forth. And he got there and I just turned out to be better than he was. That's all.
What position did your brother play?
He played corner.
So
when I got there my freshman year, I started my last two games. That was his junior year. So he started his whole junior year. We started the last two games of that season together.
Well,
then
dope.
My sophomore year, we started the whole time together. So the whole season. I was blessed to have him. He left. And then the next year, my younger brother came. So I always had my brother with me.
Okay.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah. That's and your younger brother, that's boss, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, play linebacker.
You got it.
Okay. Yeah, no doubt. So, Champ, what was the feeling knowing you were able to impact a generation of football players, right? Because you play both sides of the football field. You know, you don't usually see that, you know, especially from prominent secondary players, but you played, you know, wide receiver. I mean, final year at Georgia, on the defensive side, you had 3 interceptions, 7 PBUs. Offensively, you had 744 yards receiving, 5 touchdowns, over 300 return yards. You averaged over 100 yards all-purpose per game, while also winning a Gursky Award for the nation's top defensive player. At what point in time did you realize that, you know what, I'm kind of like impacting a generational vibe for football players, especially guys in the secondary, because you were able to play offense and you did it well?
You know, I never thought about that. I really didn't. In the moment, I was just being a kid. I wanted to play. You know, I just wanted to play. If the ball was out there, I wanted to be out there. So that was just in me. I mean, I grew up from 8 years old all the way through high school, never leaving the field. Like, what does the bench feel like? I never knew. That never existed to me. I played special teams, offense, defense. So when Coach Donnan, who was my first coach, well, my only coach at Georgia, he came to Georgia same year I came. So he had a lot of noise he had to make. So he promised me everything. Let me play everything. He let me play. So fortunate enough for me, I got that opportunity, which, you know, a few and far between for most guys. You know, you don't see guys get that opportunity. I just made the most of it. Now, we can't forget a guy a year before me, Charles Woodson. Like, to me, he's the standard. You know, Heisman Trophy, national championship. I didn't do any of those things. But, you know, I'm always chasing guys like that. And that was really the bar for me. Like, he did it. I could do it better.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, he's a GOAT as well. That guy, I mean, one of the best ever. I still look up to him.
You know, and I was going to ask you that. Why didn't you think you got more love in the Heisman voting in 98? Because, I mean, had the numbers, and I think Ricky Williams won it that year.
But, yeah, you finished 7th. Like, that was BS.
Exactly. Yeah.
You remember the guys who finished in front of you?
No, I remember Ricky because he won it.
You got Tim Couch, Jonathan McNabb.
Michael Bishop.
Michael Bishop.
K-State.
Yep.
That was BS.
Okay.
You feel some type of way knowing who finished in front of you, right? Like you said, Ricky. Ricky was Ricky. Like, okay, Ricky was a goon.
Some type of way. Maybe back then, but, you know, looking back, it's all gravy. It's something to talk about. But, you know, those guys were big-time players at that point.
In college, yeah.
Right? So they were big-time. And we know Ricky, like you say, Ricky's Ricky.
But
I don't think people appreciate it much when you don't win enough.
Like, you're right.
Like, you're right.
Team success always generates, you know, more love. And that's why Woodson got it. He was great, but we would have never known if Michigan was 1-10 that year. You know, you never know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think your final year, you guys were what, 9-3, 8-3, 9-3?
My final year.
In 98?
You might be giving us some wins. Maybe.
Yeah. And back during those days in the SEC in the East, Florida or Tennessee ran the East.
Yeah, Florida, yeah. Tennessee,
Florida,
for
Tennessee
sure.
Ran the East. Yeah. It was yeah, no you different. Got, Tennessee won a national championship my last year. So.
98, yep. Okay. 98 against Florida State in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yep.
You got it. You got it.
So after Athens, you get drafted to Washington, number 7 overall in 1999. Now, your first year during your rookie campaign, you go to Washington. They got Darryl Green, who's a legend, already there.
Yeah.
And then your second year, the first GOAT ever.
He said the first GOAT.
The first one, the first born GOAT ever. Deion Sanders joins the team. You know, did you realize at that time you got Darryl Green, you got prime time, how lucky you were to be a part of that secondary to learn from some of the greatest to ever do it? And what did you actually learn from those guys?
You know, man, let me tell you. So my first reaction, I had a lot of different mixed emotions, right? Yeah, I got both these Hall of Famers in the locker room with me, yada, mm-hmm. yada, whatever, all gravy. But you got to think, too, I'm a competitive guy.
Right.
So I'm asking my coach, am I starting? am I starting this year? Like, what's going on? Oh, yeah, you starting. There's no doubt about that. They'll be competing for that other side. Like, I'm like, really? Those two GOATs? They're competing. Okay, I'll take it. But they motivated the hell out of me because I couldn't make mistakes and they didn't allow me to. Like I soaked up all that information. I mean, there were things I took from that year all the way through my last year. I mean, it was priceless, the information I got from them. I'm telling you, I give them at least half the credit from me.
Okay. You talking about information? Our fans, our listeners, our viewers, they love getting information. Give us one piece of information you learned. It could be something on the field, you know, recognizing lineup splits from wide receivers. It could be something film study, but give us one piece of information that you still remember to this day from Darryl Green or primetime.
Okay. So one thing, let me think. So playing in high school, I never played corner. So when I got to college, I'm a corner now. Right. I'm trying to learn from guys who've never been on that island in their life. Mm-hmm. So people that have no idea what it takes. So I learned a lot of things that I shouldn't have been taught. Right. Mm. Great coaches, but they really didn't understand how to be a corner. Like being a corner is so unique.
Right.
So when I got to the Redskins, and we can go back to Darryl Green on this. Darryl Green was like, your hands are great, man, but your feet are better. That's for everybody. Like, your hands are great, your feet are better. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, he's like, man, you're sitting here trying to punch everybody, but your feet are stuck in sand. So you got to move your feet. If you don't move your feet, it doesn't matter what you do with your hands because of Brandon Marshall, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
These guys will knock your hands down and keep it moving. So you got to be body, body, body. It's all about your body. Hands are just a bonus. Bam. So, I mean, that's one thing I still teach guys that I come across. Like, man, you sitting here punching guys, but you're not really affecting them because they're still getting by you. So it's like, man, stay in front. How you stay in front? Body movement. How you move your body? Your feet. Yeah, so hands are great. Feet are better. Stuck with me to the end, man. And I still teach it.
Yeah.
That's dope.
And I got to ask you about this, champ, because like Max said, you know, growing up watching great corners like yourself and Charles, I think it was like anywhere between 05 and 06 when you changed your off stance position to that wider stance. What caused that? Like, what made you change it? Because initially used to be a normal back pedal guy.
Yeah.
But then you dropped back around like 9 to 8 yards.
Yeah, wow. Like I thought he did it because it looked good. Yeah, he looked pretty good out there. The swag was on point with that off stand.
Hey man, when they threw them slants in them hitches, he was out of that thing like hot cold, man. So what caused that, man?
You gotta think, okay. So you said between my, you know, 05-06, I'm probably in the prime. I'm in the prime of my career.
Yeah, you were hell. You were hell.
Prime of my career, right? So the worst thing that offenses could allow me to do was to see the ball. Like if I see the ball, it's a wrap. If I read routes, it's a wrap. Mm-hmm. So I was able to play man coverage by watching the quarterback. Mm-hmm. First of all, they never
that's where really you get them picks.
Yeah. They never really wanted to try me, but you know, I'm reading the quarterback, reading steps, reading drops. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna tell you why I started doing it. I started doing that because I hurt my hamstring.
So when you
battle people at the line of scrimmage, I mean, any of you guys know, if you ever hurt your hamstring, it hurts the tackle, mm-hmm. it hurts the bump and run, any kind of engagement with a guy, it hurts.
Right.
It puts a lot of strain on your leg. So I tried to avoid it. So Bob Slork was my coach at the time, and he just started teaching us how to read quarterback drops. And mm-hmm. I just was natural at it. It just became mm-hmm. natural. I mean, there was some weaknesses to it, but again, nobody really tried me a lot or studied right. enough to really find out what those weaknesses were. And they didn't understand right. what I was doing. I'm looking at the quarterback.
Hey, I'll tell you what, y'all, I just been at high school practice.
Oh,
why?
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell are you out there doing, Chad Bailey?
Well, when you're in the pros, man, you know you got top-notch information, feedback,
right? Exactly.
You know, so I'm able to, you know, gauge how to do that in high school.
Right.
You out there just doing being the best athlete, you know,
exactly.
in the league. You,
with no proper
no
coaching
room for error, there's
right?
No room for error in the league, and you know it worked for me, bro.
No doubt about it.
But people, that's one coaching element a lot of coaches fail to drill into corners. Getting that three-step read from your quarterback, even the four-step read, because even if he's in his fourth step and his shoulders are turning, you can eliminate all deep routes.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get something in the 12 to 15 range.
And it takes time, though. It takes
time. You got to drill it. You know another corner who was great at that with his eyes? Asante Samuel.
Yeah. So imagine a coach trying to teach how to do what I did and to do what Asante did.
Right.
Like, it's hard because now you're teaching guys that are going to take a long time to get it. Mm-hmm. So you just end up reverting back to what you know. So it's a time thing, you know, and plus you got to be a good athlete. You got to have good instincts. You got to have some grits, some balls and everything, man. It takes a lot to do that.
Yeah. Well, you were great at it. I didn't know you had a hamstring issue. Yeah, you were trying to hide yourself a little bit, but boy, you were hell. You were getting them books left and right.
Well, look, man, if I was healthy, I'm getting up in anybody's face.
Yeah.
That's true.
So is it safe? Yo, champ, so is it safe to say that injury was kind of a blessing in disguise for your career? Because then, like you said, you were healthy. You were trying to put your hands on them. You were trying to put your hands on them.
No, man, when you're dealt an adverse situation, it's all about how you adjust. And I just made the right adjustment. And I dealt with the issue I had. You know, it carried over to later in my career, but then I reverted back to what I knew, like, because I was still feeling like I was a dog out there. So I'm getting in your face. So I understand the intimidation factor there. So it was easy for me to go back to my old ways.
No question.
And champ, I got to ask this question too, because I remember watching this interview that you did with Tyron. Maybe it was like 2 years ago. I can't remember when it was.
Yeah.
And you guys did like a film session. I remember hearing this stat, and I want to bring this up because me and Brian and our producer been arguing about this. Wasn't in the year that you only gave up like 21 catches or something, like 21 receptions?
21 receptions?
It was something crazy on it that y'all was talking about. It was something about how many catches that you gave up that year.
So actually, it was 35 balls, period. Like,
that's what it was.
The whole year. It was 35 balls. I think I gave up like 4 completions.
What?
And I told you, Matt. I told you.
What?
And it was
what?
Yeah, and I had like, I think it was eight. It was either the 8th pick year or
I'm
the
telling
10th
you, Mac,
pick.
It was crazy when I heard that. I said, what?
You saw 35 passes and you gave up 4 in 16 games?
Yeah, and had about 8 picks, at least 8 picks. I can't remember if it was that year.
Oh, that's the year. Was that the year you had 10?
It could have been that year. It might have been
or 8.
I can't remember. It's one or the other.
Oh, man, you were playing on all Madden level. Everybody else was playing on rookie.
Hey, Mac, I told you, man. I said I might be too high on them.
Man, listen, you don't know how we might not see that ever again from some of the greats.
Definitely not seeing that.
Not today.
Hell no.
35 receptions. You only gave up 4 passes.
4 passes.
Man, how high was your confidence?
I don't know, man. You know, one of my teammates, John Lynch, congrats to him. He just went in the hall. So,
yeah,
he was just, I don't know, like even he was in awe of it. And I was in awe because he was in awe. I'm like, man, you played with Derrick Brooks, Warren Sapp.
Right.
Like, Rondé Barber, he's looking at me like I'm right. I mean, so that's really what, you know, let me know, like, damn, I'm doing something special. This was in the moment, like in games. I remember we went to Arizona and I had like, I think I got two balls that day and I had two picks. It was something. And that one stood out to me because I stole one of his picks. I jumped right in front of him and took one. So, I mean, it's, we had some good times, man. And that was definitely one of the better years for a corner.
No doubt.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah, listen. We had Mel Blunt on. What was that stat Mel told us? He had like 12 interceptions and I think he.
Oh, well, yeah.
He had a crazy Mel, stat too.
Yeah, Mel had a crazy. I think Mel said. I think it was kind of a little bit lower than Champs. I think he said it was like maybe 20 balls thrown his way the whole year, and he had 12 picks.
Yeah, like crazy, crazy number.
Shout out. Yeah, that's crazy. Yep.
Boy, that's bad, that, man. Man,
we dogging got, everybody.
Man. That's Mel's another goat. He ain't no bad.
He ain't no bad.
Man,
yeah, they made room for that man.
And has a 14 game schedule. I think he played in 14 ball games. God dang, Champ. Yeah, man, we got to make sure we get let that out, man. 35 receptions.
Yeah.
And only gave. How you give up four passes in four 16 passes, games, though? Like,
man, I don't even remember the passes either. I remember those picks, though.
Wake these folks up, man.
Man, I let y'all wake them up for me. You know,
man. Hey, so Champ. I got my brim on. I take my brim off. I tip it to you right now. Pat, tip your brim to the goat.
I'm going to do the golfer's thing.
Yeah, you golfer, you think you're a little baby tiger.
He's
a big
golfer.
Yeah, but man, we're gonna wake these folks up, man, because boy, that's an amazing stat right there. Yeah, so man. Let's transition back to your DC days, right? Talked about your rookie year, played real good football, and then one of the biggest trades, I think, you know, I don't want to say in NFL history, but clearly during that time happened, you know, with the Broncos and Washington. Mm-hmm. They send Washington Clinton Portis. They send Champ Bailey to Denver. You know, describe that experience for you. At one point in time, did you know, you know what, I'm probably going to get traded? And how did you handle that?
Oh, man, there's a lot to unpack here. Okay, so our owner, who y'all are very aware of, Daniel Snyder at the time, like people got to go back. Okay, so my rookie year, when I got drafted, Charlie Casserly drafted me. But that summer in 99, my rookie year before the season started, Dan Snyder bought the team. So I was not one of his draft picks. You know, the draft is all this big, sexy event, yada, yada, play up who you get. I was never one of his guys. And we all know how that resonates with, you know, front office, like being one of their guys, right? So fast forward 4 years later, I'm approaching free agency. Or actually before free agency, they offered me a few deals. Like, nah, no one worth more. I show them what I want. Oh, they laugh at me, yada, yada. Like, no, we're not talking during the season. All right. Season's up. I'm about to be a free agent. They franchise me. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just sit out this year. You know, I just won't show up. So
are you planning on sitting out?
Yeah, absolutely. I was not gonna play.
I know that.
For cheap. Like it just wasn't happening. No security. No. The game was still pretty rough back then. So So after that, you know, we start talking about trade. And there was two teams on the table. I think, no, three. There was another team, I can't remember, but it was the Jets. They made a serious offer. And the Broncos, they made a serious offer. Mm-hmm. But I looked at both programs. I'm like, who's in the playoffs, who's not? Broncos' history of being in the playoffs, championships, great organization, first-class owner, yada, yada. So they sold me on that. I had never imagined that they would trade Clinton Portis. But here's where it got funny is people forget I got traded for Clinton Portis. I was along with a second round pick. The Broncos also got a second round pick. Who they
You're right. I forgot about that. Most people think we're just player for player.
Yeah. So a second round pick, we all know how valuable that is, right?
Yes. Right.
Man, you can't just give up a second round, but they got me.
And a second
round. But they wanted the high profile running back, you know, the flamboyant Clinton Portis. They wanted that. He loved that. Right. Like LeVar Arrington was drafted after me, the year after me. He got an extension before me, before I even left the Redskins at the time. And I'm like, man, well, they showing me every reason why I need to be out of here. They don't value me. I've been to four straight Pro Bowls. Like, what else can I do in 5 years? I don't know.
Right.
So it was a blessing in disguise. And, you know, it's probably the biggest move of my career.
Right. And obviously, we know you got a ton of accolades off the field. But here's a fun fact. If you type in tackling corner, Champ Bailey is the number one result. How did that come?
You're lying to me, right?
I swear to God.
Champ.
Tackling corner.
You're dead serious.
Champ Bailey. Is the number one result. How's that something that I guess you became known for?
I don't know. You know, it was a pride thing, bro. I just wanted to be
complete corner. Everything. The ultimate complete corner. That's what it means.
You got to think. Darryl Green, not a big tackler. Deion, definitely not a big tackler, right? So I played with these guys. And I even when I played with them, I was like, I'm going to show these fools how to tackle.
Okay.
I mean, that's the attitude I always had. Like, I just have to be good at it. And I didn't know any other way, man. Where I grew up, and you had to be good at everything. Like, again, we never left the field. So being great and showing up, being accountable, that's what I'm all about, bro.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Hey, no question. Yeah, but go ahead. When you get done with this interview, go ahead and Google tackling cornerback Champ Bailey, the number one result.
I mean, where's Rondé and Woodson, all these big tacklers?
They are some big tacklers too.
Well, this is Google's list.
Yeah, this is Google's
this
list.
This ain't all things, Kurt. This is their list.
I'll take it, bro. No doubt. Now you know I'm gonna be everything gonna be popping up on my screen now. All these ads for tackling.
Yeah,
you know how it is. Said tackling one too many times.
So let's go to your 2005 season in Denver. I think you guys finished this regular season number two in the AFC. I think behind the Colts. 13-3 entering the AFC championship game. You guys were 3.5-point favorites against the Steelers. I was a rookie on that team, by the way. What was your confidence heading into that ball game? Because we beat y'all real bad, 34-17.
Yeah. Well, we got completely outcoached. I don't blame everything on the coaches. You got to execute. But I'm smart enough to know, bro, the schemes wasn't working. Like, we just blatantly got outcoached. They had an answer for everything we did on defense. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember back then, but we had this one thing on defense. We would really fake like you're blitzing. Sometimes we would blitz, sometimes we wouldn't. But we have 9 guys at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah, all right? Standing up.
Yeah, that's boy, that sticky look.
Yeah.
And when we went, they picked up everybody. And if Ben Roethlisberger got time, that's a problem. So, it is what it is, man. You just got coached. I got out coached, and they were attacking our off coverage. It was crazy. I'm like, man, it was a rough day for us, bro. I don't like to give that one.
So, Champ, again, I know you you're always on the right side of highlight tapes, but on this one, you kind of wasn't. Like, what was going through your head? Who was it? It was Ben, the tight end, when you got the pick.
Oh,
Ben True. Hey, Champ ran out of gas.
Yeah, he did.
He ran out of gas. When your head go back,
bro,
you got no more gas.
No gas. Your head go back to support your back.
So
think about it. We had just they drove the ball down all the way to our five-yard line.
That was like a 10-play drive or something
like that.
Yeah, it was.
You telling me I got to catch the ball in the end zone and run a dead sprint and make it? Nah.
Right.
So it was set up for me to fail, but one of my boys let me down. I won't call him out. I called him out.
Somebody was supposed to block Ben, if I'm not mistaken.
All they had to do was flinch at him. Just flinch at him. Come on, do something, man.
At what point did you realize you wasn't gonna make it? Did you see him in the jumbotron?
No, I never saw
him. You never saw him?
I would have probably kicked it a little more and found something or dived or something. I didn't see him. I thought I was good.
Man, they still show that as like the ultimate hustle play every year.
Yeah. Well, the good thing though, Champ, luckily we had an ultimate hustle play last year that might surpass your play with Buda Baker when he got ran down.
Oh,
by DK.
Yeah, I agree.
Not a playoff game, but that was a great play.
That was a great play.
I think what's so significant about that play is it was a big moment for us because we beat the Patriots. I think they were undefeated up to that.
Yeah,
moment.
Yeah, they had a real good team.
And then big moment for Ben because he made that play. So but we won the game. I mean, so nobody really harps on me about the
right.
play.
Yeah.
And right. like you said, they right. scored the very next play. Now, if exactly. they don't score, it's yeah. a big deal. It's a real right. big deal.
Because mm-hmm. I fumbled too. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It almost went, the ball loose. It went right in front of the pylon.
No question.
I think that ball went out the back of the end zone, but they saved me. That's right.
I remember watching that game. It was like I was there. I forget who I was watching. We always say, Champ, run.
Everybody wanted us to beat the Patriots that year.
No question. No doubt. It was a Sunday night game, too. I'll never get it. It was a night game.
That's prime time.
Yes, that joke,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody, you know, everybody hated the Patriots. We used to, you know, y'all know why. Y'all know what the Patriots have going on.
We ain't got to talk about it. We know.
Yeah, we ain't got to talk about it. So that's why nobody wanted to see the Patriots win during them days. On a personal level, I mean, you've done so much in your career. But 2006, you were definitely playing on all Madden level. 10 interceptions, didn't allow a touchdown all year. But you finished second in the Defensive Player of the Year voting. Jason Taylor won. Now, Jason Taylor numbers, he had 13 and a half sacks, 9 forced fumbles, and 2 pick sixes. Do you believe you should have won Defensive Player of the Year that year in 06?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hands down.
I did. Let me give you a little
tell us why. Tell us why.
So that same year, Sean Merriman was up for Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. But he got popped for PEDs.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So everybody was screaming, oh, if you get popped for PEDs, you shouldn't be able to win no awards. That's where that all started. Mm-hmm. I don't know now. Mm-hmm. If you get popped for anything now, you ain't getting no postseason awards. It's just not happening. Oh, yeah.
Not happening.
Right? Yeah. So he got popped. So it was just me and Jason Taylor. You know, he was all in front of camera saying you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything publicly because I'm like, man, I'm not going to kick this guy while he's down. Like, I'm just going to, you know, let it be. Like, best man win. So be it. Yeah. Right. We all know. Yeah. You take them, then or you get caught. Maybe you shouldn't. I think that's a fair punishment. But I didn't think Jason Taylor, he did more lobbying than I did. I think everybody on my team and around, you know, in our division definitely thought I should have won, but it is what it is, man. That's one I definitely think I should have won. I don't cry about awards. It doesn't make or break me, but 10 picks as a corner, man. Come on.
No, I didn't allow one touchdown.
We corners on this call. We know better. Yeah.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I'm trying. We gotta figure out, is that the same year when you only allow 4 receptions?
Yeah, but
that might be the same year. Yeah, I think so. Because I think it was 10 picks out of 35 passes. So, because for some reason that sounds right to me.
Yeah, that is
10 picks out of 35 out of 35 passes, and you allow 4 receptions.
Well, you gotta catch them, baby.
You gotta catch them. So, Champ, you know, obviously your great career speaks for itself. What is something that you took from the Hall of Fame dinner, the Hall of Fame luncheon? Obviously, being around great people, like, how was that experience?
Man, you know, that it's funny when you ask that because, you know, every time I think about it, there's always a different thing I think about. Mm-hmm. But there were just so many good conversations, you know, just hearing the older guys talk about, you know, them playing through the days of Jim Crow and how they would have to pull over and stay at certain hotels. They couldn't stay near campuses. I'm just thinking, like, man, we have nothing to complain about. So little things like that, just hearing the Charles Haley tell stories, you know, his days with the Cowboys. I mean, God, I'm telling you, man, it's just a book full of stories that, you know, I'll never repeat, but but stuff that, you know, I resonate with. And it's like, man, these guys are just like me. It's good to be in a room like this with guys who went through that same struggle, understand it, and nobody couldn't tell them shit. Like,
right.
Like they the big dogs there. They know it. It's just to be around that, man. I'm part of a family nobody can ever take me out of. It.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so appreciative of it.
Yeah, how long do it take them to do that sculpture, though? Is it like an all-day thing?
I think it took about 3 or 4. Well, for me, it took me 8 hours of sitting there. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we went 4 hours, took a little break, and then went another 4 hours. So, yeah, so it's a real thing. They sit there, and, I mean, by the time you leave, that thing looks like you.
Oh, so it's going to be obviously not coated up and stuff, but it's going to be done before you leave?
Well, oh, wow. The wax part, yeah.
Yeah, the wax part,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, he'll probably make some adjustments here and there, and then they'll send me like the improvements over time. Man,
did you tear up, champ? Did you tear up?
I think when he finally sent it, you know, you get a little emotional, but because now, hell, this is me. This is my shit. know, I've seen everybody else's, and you know, looking at Dion and you know him putting his bandana on here, all these little things, tricks. Man, I got my own now, so it was satisfying, man.
And do they give you one, or that's the only one that they have?
I have a.
Or they give you one? Yeah. Oh, it's a man, that's amazing.
It's not the 300 pound one or whatever that thing weighs. It's heavy,
right?
But man, I awesome, do have man. Something that I can set up whenever I do events or whatever. Man, so it's a good little thing.
Yeah.
Nothing like it, man. Nothing like
it. I bet.
Man. Hey, champ. You see what P2 doing, right?
What you talking about?
He asked a lot of questions, right? you see what he doing. You see what he doing, right?
Hey, you know, it's funny because I've run into Darrell Revis this years ago. Well, this is right around Hall of Fame, right when I got in. So, you know, just these little questions. And what, you know, they worried about EJ. They all like, man, what I gotta do? So it is what it is, man. I'm here.
There's only a selected few because I ain't asking all them questions because I know good and well I ain't gone.
But you in the family.
And you gonna be there though, Matt.
I'm gonna be right there. It's like I'm going. Heck, it's like I'm getting in the hall too. But you know, Pat P already, he's like, man, shoot, how do you get an extra one? Do I get a replica? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just asking questions, right?
You're right. You got to study. Yeah. It's like studying the wide receiver. You got to get all the information, gather information.
There's a lot of perks, bro. A lot of perks.
I mean, yeah. One question I had for you, longevity. Like, man, you played a long time at a high level, always on the football field, not missing a snap, and we're just competing. What was the keys to your success when you talk about longevity?
Well, I can't tell you. I wouldn't ever give anybody the blueprint on what I did physically to play for a long time because I think it's unorthodox. Because
what'd you do? You got to give us a little snippet. Mel Blunt told us he ate rabbits. That's what Mel said. Bro, he ate rabbits for his tendons.
That stuff was fair game. So, absolutely.
You ate rabbits?
No, I didn't, but I know people that did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mel said he ate rabbits.
Anyway, I grew up in the country, so, you know, use your imagination there. Yeah. But anyway, bro, I wasn't a workout warrior. You ask any of my teammates, I would go touch the weights and walk right out of that thing. I always felt like it was hindering me some way. So I didn't go overboard with it. I was a natural runner. You know, I really didn't start getting hurt. I missed my first game after playing 99 straight games in the league. Like,
dang,
that's when I missed my first one. So, I mean, Pat, same for you. It took you a while to miss your first game, right? So, I mean, I was just blessed. I mean, I knew how to take care of myself, but I didn't do anything extraordinary. Yeah. I had a different mentality. I obviously prepared, you know, studied. You know, I just played great. You know, that's my thing. Let me just play great, take care of my body as much as I need to. But it was really no perfect science behind it. I was just blessed, man.
Man, that's crazy to see that, champ. That's the same thing that I do. Like, I'm not a weight room guy. I do some bands and do some stuff like that. But running, I run all day.
Yep.
So that's good. That's good that you had that same recipe as well, because I do the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. So that's big right there.
Yep, keep it simple.
Yep, keep it simple, baby. Hey, so did you ever have any regrets, you know, after leaving the game, or you know, anything that you wish you could have done better, any relationship that you could have, you know, amended? Was there any regrets leaving the game when you left the game?
No, I think now I'm more satisfied than maybe 7 years ago when I left.
Okay.
But, you know, you always wish you could have won the championship. You know, that was my last game losing. So, you know, you always wish you could have been a better teammate, or, you know, found out a way to extend my career, or any kind, you know, there's always little things that you wish. But when I reflect now, I'm like, damn, there's a whole new world out here that I'm exposed to in a different way. Like, I got time to really pay attention. So there's other things that interest me now. It's not just football doesn't just dominate my brain anymore. No, I never realized how much I was buried in football.
Right.
Although I got a lot out of it,
Man,
I missed a lot too. So
yeah,
I'm just glad to be able to have a sane mind, sane body. Mm-hmm. Everything feels good, functioning. One surgery my whole life. Man, I'm great, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Champ, I don't know if you know, but the number one selling jersey in the National Football League is Tim Tebow, number 85. You should go get you one.
Why are you surprised?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I didn't know you knew, right?
That was only in Jacksonville, too, probably.
Yeah, number one selling jersey, you know what I mean, is Tim Tebow. And you were part of Tebow Mania in 2011. When you guys got lucky and beat the Steelers on that crazy, we don't even talk about that. But
all what you want.
No, yeah, we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna pass that. But how crazy was that experience in 2011? And do you believe he got a fair shot in the National Football League? And I granted, you know, the biggest story was Tim signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars, which surprised everybody. But how big was that experience? And do you believe he got a fair shot when he was in the National Football League the first time?
Yeah, I do think he got a fair shot. I think you gotta think the situation that propelled him to start was because we sucked. Mm-hmm. Right, like would he have start if we were 8-1 or whatever or 5-1? Yeah. I can't remember how far we were in the season, but I mean he came in and did some great things, but we all knew our defense was playing top five level at that time, so we were balling, so we gave him every opportunity to get back in the game. So don't get me wrong, the guys, I mean, he's infectious, great leader. I mean, I love his preparation. But I grew up with a lot of guys like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just didn't have enough athletic ability to play football. He has a lot of great qualities, but he's just not an NFL quarterback. Hence him playing tight end now, which is probably, I think his ego, I hate to say that because I love the guy. I mean, he's a great guy. But I think something about him wanting to play quarterback so bad disabled him from getting a chance to play tight end, at least at a younger age. Like, you're in your 30s now. You try to go out here and push around some young 20-something-year-olds? Like,
right.
I mean, maybe. But I don't see how he has a really good shot of making a team. Now, there's a lot that's in his favor. Hometown. Mm-hmm. Your coach.
Yeah, coach. Yep.
Yes. So it's a lot of sticky points there. So, but I think he should have made that move years ago when he kept trying to force himself to be a quarterback.
And so Champ, with you being away from Denver for, I believe, like 8 years now, do you still keep up with the organization as far as their draft picks and things like that? Because they just picked up Patrick Surtain, the second, who dad played in the pros. And there was some criticism of that pick. What do you think about that selection?
Well, I addressed that in real time.
I thought it was a great pick.
Yeah, I thought it was a steal, to be honest. There's
no doubt about it.
This guy, since he showed up at Bama, was a baller. So
right.
And he has the size. He has the pedigree. Mm-hmm. What else are you looking for? Like, corners are hard to come by.
And you need corners.
You need them because what's going to happen late training camp? Everybody looking for corners.
Yeah. Right? So. And don't forget the team you're chasing, Kansas City, got number track runners.
Is that
got a 4x1 relay team? So you better have enough corners. They got Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby, Surtain. You get Callahan if Callahan can stay healthy.
Yeah.
The secondary for Denver. I mean that competition at the cornerback. I'm talking for Denver.
Yeah, Denver.
You got Kyle Fuller.
Yeah.
Ronald Darby, Surtain, Callahan, and I think they what was a kid from Iowa they drafted.
I forget his
Michael,
name.
Ojemudia.
Don't get me saying that.
I think it's Ojemudia, if I'm not mistaken. Like so they got a lot of depth. So I love the move as well. So
I do too. I mean, I think it's a great move. It gets criticism because it's not a sexy pick, but
right.
It's like picking an offensive tackle at that. I mean, like if they're great, you better get them. They're hard to come by. So
no doubt about it.
I love the pick.
Yeah. Yep. Last question for you.
Matter of fact, I do keep up with the Broncos, but keep in mind there's only one guy on that team that I played with, and that's Von Miller. Everybody else is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All new faces.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all new faces, bro.
Last question for you. We're going to transition to the superlative part of this show. Speaking of the Denver Broncos, you know, over the last few weeks, since the draft when Aaron Rodgers made it known he does not want to return to Green Bay. The Denver Broncos have been a team that has been in that conversation with Aaron Rodgers. You know, do you think that would happen? And if so, what would that do for the organization?
I mean, it's a big push for the organization. I think we all know how valuable that position is. And if you don't have a good one, you know you don't have a good one. Like,
Herm Edwards said, if you don't have a quarterback, that football field is 150 yards.
Yes, you'll never get down it. It just, like, you'd be punting all day.
Right.
I'm telling you, that you got to have a quarterback that can move the chains. And he would change it because, for one, we all know, man, Green Bay is a good organization, but so is Denver. You put a good player like that in on a team like that, hence Peyton Manning, you're going to win a championship.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have, or at least give yourself a chance.
You're going to have opportunities, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right now, we're relying on a great defense, and hopefully the offense is better. You know, that's what they're dealing with right now. Young talent on the offense, especially at the skill position. Got to get the quarterback shored up, man.
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt. Best thing Herm said, boy. That field is 150 yards.
That's so real. I never heard that one.
I never heard that one either. But boy, I said, boy, you dead on with that, coach. All right. So, champ, we're going to transition to the superlative part of our show. Rapid fire questions. Honest, unbiased answer. This is an up-tempo offense, so you're not huddling. And they coming out flush, set, four wide receivers, one running back, and they throwing the football. First question for you. Top five corners ever. You can choose to include yourself or exclude yourself. But top five ever. Top five.
Any corners. Any order?
Any order.
Yeah, any order.
No, don't let him off the hook because he already said he want to get up there and play bump and run. Number one, two, three, four, five.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to start with five. I'm going to go – this is rapid fire. So, I'm going to go Darryl Green.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to go y'all killing me here. let me go Charles Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a DB, but corner. He baller too.
No question. No question.
Let me go Rod Woodson.
Okay.
And I'm going to go to the late, great Willie Brown. Ooh. Just because I saw a lot of his tape balling. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Prime, number one. Yeah. I'm going to leave myself out of this.
Okay. That's good.
List is about the same.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Good. So I know I'm good.
Yeah. My list was about the same. I think I had Mel instead of Willie Brown.
No,
and I had your other ones, and I had to fight between Champ and Charles. That's why I didn't give him the order.
Yeah, you ain't getting no order. I had Champ in mind too. Yeah. I had Mel, I had Prime, I had Rod Woodson,
and we had Rod. Yeah. We both had Rod.
And I had Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, so
you got the next one.
We on it. The biggest receiver rivalry of your career.
Ooh.
Rivalry?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I had some – man, you know, I'm going to go back to my early days. Amani Toomer with the Giants. Okay.
Oh. Yeah, you see him
big
twice
body,
a year.
Strong.
Yeah, I used to have to see him twice a year. And the reason I bring him up, you know, obviously a guy you never hear about, but he was just tough, not fast. He just knew how to just create a little bit of room. And Kerry Collins would just sling it in there. I mean, it was like, it was a battle, man. You know, it was a slugfest. It was one of those games, man. Because you got to think, they had Tiki Barber running back. Mm-hmm. Tiki Barber was a beast. One of the most underrated running. I don't know if any one of y'all played against him.
No, I didn't.
Man, I ain't played against Tiki. I don't think I did.
Tough, bro. Like, underrated. Yeah. So, you think he's a small back, but he's thick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got to say Amani Toomer. I'm going to go back to somebody.
That's definitely
a good one. That's a good one.
Last question for you. Most impressive thing you saw Peyton Manning do while playing in Denver, while he was with you in Denver?
The 55 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back. The 55 touchdowns and the 7 touchdowns in the opener.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Like,
who was a tight end who you put on that game? Thomas?
Julius Thomas. Yeah.
Man, Julius Thomas. Julius went crazy that game.
Got him paid, too. Jacksonville gave him a nice, handsome ransom.
Yes, sir.
Was that game against Kansas City? That 7 touchdown game? It was against Kansas City?
No, that was Baltimore.
Baltimore. The Yeah. Oh, because Baltimore had just won a championship, right?
I think so.
And yeah. They were supposed to play at home, but they came to y'all.
That's right.
Yeah.
That sound right? Hold on.
It was a Thursday night.
Yeah, it was the first team.
The Orioles had it. Yep.
At their stadium. Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
Dang, boy.
7 touchdowns. You on the sideline like, man.
And they had beat them. They beat them the year before in the playoffs for Baltimore to win the to go to the AFC to the third round. Yeah,
that's right.
In Denver, they beat y'all in Denver.
Yeah,
my man Raheem Moore. Oh. Man, I don't know what he was thinking, man.
Yeah, from UCLA.
I'm telling you, man. He just misjudged the ball. You got to win Denver.
Oh, with that altitude too,
bro. That ball just carried because we all thought it was coming short too by the way we were standing.
Right.
Like, I'm on the other side of the field, but I see it.
Right.
And I'm thinking he's okay, but it just kept going. And then you see Jacoby just start running, like, even faster. I'm like, oh, shit. I never seen that stadium so quiet in my life.
Oh, my God.
It was the quietest I ever seen that stadium.
And it makes it so bad, man. He was throwing some lollipops that whole game, too.
He just was throwing it. We were hungry that day because we beat them earlier that year.
Yeah.
In Baltimore, we embarrassed them. It was pretty bad. And they were ready. They were ready.
And that, speaking of runs, man, Joe Flacco had one. That was one hell of a playoff run that year.
He did. He did.
That's on point. That got him paid,
gotta give it to him.
Yep.
Got him paid. Hey, well, champ, man, definitely a pleasure having you on the show, All Things Covered, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden, man. This was a treat.
My pleasure, man.
No doubt about it.
I'm here for y'all. Y'all ever need something, man, I'm here, man.
Man, don't we appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, champ.
Pat P, take care of them legs, baby.
I will. Trust me, I'm in this new building in Minnesota. They got all these damn stairs everywhere, so I take the elevator.
Hey, man, I don't blame you, bro.
Hey, young boy. Young boys ask me, man, say, P, the knees just on the second floor. I said, yeah, I'm old. I'm going to take it a lift.
Every step counts, bro.
No
every
doubt step. About it.
All right, take care of yourself, fella.
Thanks again to Champ Bailey. And thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure to follow and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back soon where you can expect all things to be covered.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.